And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. All right, well, there's that time, that place. You got a sound effect ready, Boomer, because we're about to use it, man, because I have literally spent some time, and it didn't take too long. Didn't take too long because there are so many of them. Whereas I'm going through my resourcing for the show, I find over and I'm like, wow, that's woke. Look at that one. Look how woke that. What in the world? Next thing I know, I realize I have an entire veritable buffet, a plethora, a cornucopia, if you will, an entire cavalcade of wokeness, which means that once again, it's time to either make you mad, make you laugh, make you smile, make you throw your radio, because it's time for Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
My gosh, right out the gate, I don't even know what to do. I'm looking at this. So, Boomer, did you take a look at some of these when you were helping me put the resources in print
today? I did a couple. I just kind of just
did
skimmed.
You see the meatball story? Yeah. Did you?
I saw the meatball story.
Holy crap. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to read you the headline. I want your reactions, Boom, as we go forward here. All right? This one.
All right.
This one's important. Headline, Daily Wire, dated March 28th, so what, 4 or 5 days ago. Australian company unveils a lab-grown meatball made from woolly mammoth.
From woolly mammoth.
That's the headline. I don't know what part freaks me out more, the fact that it's a lab-grown meatball or that it comes from an extinct animal.
Lab-grown woolly mammoth.
They call this cultivated meat.
That's just, why would they even say that?
I don't want it at all. There's some words that shouldn't go together, and I'm pretty sure cultivated and meat do not go together. So here's the story. You ready? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Daily Wire, March 28th. A producer of lab-grown meat. That's just freaking wrong. I could spend all day talking about how wrong that. If you don't want to eat meat, don't eat it. But don't go make fake meat and tell us it is. And oh, by the way, I don't want to eat your bacon that was grown in a lab. Thank you very much. Mm-mm. A producer of lab-grown meat unveiled an ancient appetizer perfect for your paleo diet. It says an Australian synthetic meat producer called Vow unveiled a meatball made from the genetic material of the woolly mammoth on Tuesday, that's last week. The meatball was created using proteins synthesized from a mammoth genome, and it's part of the company's mission to fight climate change using lab-grown meat. God almighty, there had to be another agenda in there. It's not just that they're capitalists and they want to make money off of lab-grown meat. No, it's about climate change.
Climate change.
The mammoth meatball. Every paragraph in the story, by the way, is rich in wokeness and things to laugh at. The mammoth meatball was created with the help of Ernst Wolfgang. If that doesn't sound like Dr. Frankenstein's cousin, I don't know what does. Ernst Wolfgang! Ernst Wolfgang synthesized mammoth muscle tissue. Okay, you ready? I'm going to read it to you. You ready for this? This is there's layers in here. There's layers, brother. Ernst Wolfgang synthesized mammoth muscle tissue using a DNA sequence from myoglobin, the protein responsible for the pigment and flavor of red meat. He then filled in a few gaps in the genetic material using DNA from an African elephant, a close relative of mammoths, and the DNA was then implanted in myoblasts from a sheep and replicated into about 20 billion cells, enough to produce 400 grams of mammoth meat.
So elephant, sheep, mammoth meat.
Yeah. Like extinct mammoth,
extinct.
Current elephant, and oh, by the way, mixed it with sheep. Somewhere in there, between that and artificial intelligence, I am scared for the human race. What the heck?
Y'all just go on out there and get your little mammoth ball.
He says it was ridiculously easy and fast. Did it in a couple of weeks. Oh, good.
Oh, that makes
the original.
Me
feel yeah, I know. The original goal of the project was to create a chicken nugget. Oh my God.
What?
The original goal of the project was to create a chicken nugget out of meat from a dodo bird. I'm reading you a real article. This is serious business.
Y'all go look at go. You have to pull up the article.
You got them on the resources?
It's on the resources.
Okay, so this is one you're going to want to find. So you go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org. And on the tab that says live stream, you can see like the video playing of Inside the Studio. You can scroll down a little further. You can see the audio link in case all you want is the audio. At the very bottom, there's a place that says resources. You click on that. You can go to today's Triple Dipper. All the stories from today's Triple Dipper are on there, including the one at the top of Adventures of Woke World called Australian Company Unveils a Lab-Grown Meatball Made from a Woolly Mammoth, developed by a guy named Ernst Wolftang, who combined African elephants, lamb parts, and woolly mammoth muscle and grew lab-grown meat to help fight climate change. I can't.
That's just too much.
If we find out that Ernst Wolftang is a transgender, my day is complete.
There you go. I mean, let me just talk to somebody around the water cooler about this mammoth ball that we're
mammoth
about to be eating.
He does say this. I take heart in knowing, he says, nobody has tasted the mammoth meatball. It's likely that nobody will. Like a little common sense prevails. He goes, we haven't seen this protein for thousands of years. We have no idea how our immune system would react when we eat it. Yeah, it creates zombies. This is how the zombie apocalypse starts. This is
the mammoth balls.
It's either AI launching Skynet and going self-aware and eradicating the human race and turning us all into batteries, or it's going to be Ernst Wolftang and his freaking mammoth meatball starting the zombie apocalypse. Either way, it's bad.
Lab-grown meat.
That's it. I'm going off the grid. Me and Charlene are growing tomatoes in the backyard and hunting our own food. I'm just going off the grid.
Just don't make your own lab meat.
Don't know. No cultivated meat at my house. Whoa. He says he could understand people being initially wary of such meat. It's not meat.
It's not.
If you grew it in a lab, I'm calling it not meat. I really feel kind of gross right now.
Yes.
I think I need another lifesaver just to get the taste out of my mouth. I don't even know where to go with this, Boomer. The text lines are open, 833-687-4448. I got to know, is anybody out there brave enough to eat a lab-grown woolly mammoth meatball? All right, so Boomer, somebody comes along and says, we'll pay you $1 million. Would you eat a mammoth, lab-grown
mammoth
meatball?
I don't think I could. I went to this one place when I was in Africa, and it was called the Carnivore. And they would come around with giant machetes with random meat on it, and they would just slice it on your plate. And I tried a lot of disgusting stuff, but that, not the woolly mammoth, lab-grown sheep, elephant.
Yeah, I
don't even want to know what it looks like.
I ate as a guest of an Afghan warlord one time, and his boy came out of the kitchen area, which was like an open-fire kitchen, with a whole fryer chicken. I thought, this looks like normal. And then he started ripping pieces off it with the dirty fingernails and throwing it on my plate. I'm like, oh, God.
I don't even want to know how you fixed it up.
But at least it wasn't lab-grown meat from an extinct animal mixed with something modern in order to make something that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Like I said, this is how bad things happen. If God had wanted woolly mammoth meatballs on our plate, they would still be here now. This is... Ernst Wolftang needs to be reined in, like, right away.
Yes.
All right, I got more of this. You guys want to text it in? I'll take it, because I'm pretty sure that one got some reaction. Lab-grown meatballs. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about from way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. So, Boomer.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Woolly Mammoth. Meatball lab,
still on the meatballs.
Lab grown. Well, I got to read some text here, but the first text I got to read comes from Charlene.
Oh, what'd she say?
So my lovely Charlene just texted me literally right after I went on to break. There's a meat and three place, you know it, Boomer, Pruitt's.
Oh yeah,
everybody loves Pruitt's. There's a meat and three place called Pruitt's, and she just texted me and goes, "Meatloaf Monday at Pruitt's." I said, "Did you really just ask that after my last segment?" And she goes, "It's real meat, not woolly mammoth." And I said, "Oh boy, but yes."
But right after the segment,
literally
perfect.
Right after lab grown meat, woolly mammoth, Ernst.
Perfect
Ernst
timing.
Is doing it. Ernst Wolftang.
Wolftang.
So plenty
Ernst.
Of texts came in from that one. I'm not sure we're going to get to any more.
Oh.
But John from Huntsville texted in and says, do these woolly mammoth meatballs come with spaghetti and tomato paste? Because if they do, I might give it a try. However, I cannot try the dodo nuggets without knowing what kind of dipping sauce comes with them. what sauce would you like with your dodo nuggets, sir?
If you can have any sauce.
My gosh. Spending, Jenny from Decatur says, I mean, after spending so many of our dollars on researching, and this is about. I thought she was about researching. She's talking about space program. If that's, by the way, Jenny's saying she's hearing that the Space Command is staying in Colorado. That was being talked about a week or so ago that it's possible, but we don't know it for a fact, Jenny. So if something broke in the last few minutes, I will check and see during the next break. John from Brownsboro. He says, where can you find maple bacon donuts? Not lab grown, I hope. Maple bacon donuts, the official food of Right Side Radio. Anita from South Huntsville says, the texture of lab grown meat is the largest hurdle to popular acceptance. Since the muscles receive no exercise, the mouthfeel is very mushy. I'm getting grossed out, but scientists are experimenting with strapping the synthetic tissue grown in a vat onto robotic legs, which will then send electric signals to the muscle, causing it to contract. Just slaughter a cow and be done with it. In the future, all fast food workers will be robots piloted by art. Anita, you paint a very bleak image of the future.
Robots.
I don't want to be a part of this future with Anita. I don't. Missy from Falkville says, hey, don't dog out growing tomatoes while I'm planting 50. And she's got a picture of it. I'm with you, girl. You plant them. Missy from Falkville. Racin from Milani says, Jesus, I'm ready. Take me home. from Hawaii, I mean. Yeah, I get it, man. Chadwick, brand new in the text string. Where's Chadwick from? Hansville. Chadwick from Hansville says, look, don't say it was for climate change you decided to grow a mammoth ball. Just say you thought it'd be cool. Pretty sure there's a movie series on all the bad reasons to do this. We got some great texts. Oh, my gosh. All right. What else we got here? Gina from Athens says, disgusting nightmares of woke world. Yep. Badger from Athens says, Soylent Green comes to mind. Tim from Madison says, make me a meatball sandwich. I'm down to try it. So Tim from Madison is all
ready.
Game, man.
He's on it.
He's in. Tony from Piedmont says, pardon me while I cough up a woolly mammoth meatball. Bert from Owens Crossroads says, I'm sure someone at PETA would eat that meatball. Probably not. There's probably some people for the ethical treatment of lab-grown meat out there.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, look, I'm going to move on. I got a ton of the – I mean, the text lines went kaboom. You want to text in, you're welcome to it. I'll come back to some more of them later.
Can I respond to one text? It's Leanne from Huntsville. She asked where the article was, and that is on our website. You can go to the live stream tab, scroll all the way down, and you're going to see a button where it says – resources for the show. You click it and it's going to pull up all the resources for the show.
Yeah,
you can find the one, and it's on the very first article on the Adventures of Woke World.
Yeah, outstanding. Yes. Yeah, Boomer puts them up every day now. So I send him the links to all the stories I've picked out. He helps me get them in printable format so I can highlight them and do, you know, notes and all that kind of stuff. But now, because so many people would do exactly what just happened and say, where's that article at? Or how do I get a copy of it? This one was on Daily Wire, by the way, but your best place to find it is on rightsideradio.org resources tab at the bottom, just like Boomer said. Next story. Can I possibly get to all these stories, Boomer?
You got a lot of them.
I got a lot. Okay. the headline, literally I wrote, what? Out next to the headline. That's what I wrote. It's right there. What? Headline. MSN.com. By the way, when did we start celebrating mental illness? Headline. As a bisexual mom in a straight passing relationship, I sometimes feel guilty for identifying as queer. That's the headline. Kid you not. Let me read it again. Try to, you know, what happens is when I take my notes, I'm holding this up to the camera right now so y'all can see it. When I'm taking my notes, I am literally highlighting things that I think are important to read out or to reference. But then I circle key words that I want to make sure I bring to emphasis. Almost every word in that title is circled. And I wrote, what? Not beside it. As a bisexual mom in a straight passing relationship, I sometimes feel guilty for identifying as queer. She starts off, she, he, I don't know. I identify as bi, but most people can't tell because I'm a mom in a relationship with a man. The bisexual erasure, she calls it, bisexual erasure. Apparently erasure is now a word. The bisexual erasure hurts and takes a toll on my mental health. I also feel guilty for identifying as bi because I have the safety of my nuclear-looking family. It's a nuclear-looking. It's not a nuclear family. It's a nuclear-looking family. It's apparently faux. She believes she's living a charade. That bisexual erasure takes a toll on my mental health, makes me question if I should even be calling myself queer in the first place. Maybe you shouldn't. She talks about how she met her husband. They have she calls a loving relationship, which leads many to believe that I'm straight, and it hurts, she says. It hurts that they think she's straight. At 34, I still feel like a pretend queer, but I'm working on it. This is an article that just clearly indicates that someone wrote this. They need counseling. They need help. They are looking at their loving family and their kids and questioning why any of it's any good, because in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm really different on the inside. Stop it. I'm not even going to spend much time on that one. That was just, okay. That was not near as fun as a lab-grown mammoth meatball. How about this one from Fox News, dated today? Fox News, April 3rd, my brother's birthday. The publisher of the classic 1936 novel Gone with the Wind has added trigger warnings to the latest edition, saying that it contains racist depictions and content that may be hurtful to readers. Somehow or another, we as a society have survived since 1936 without having trigger warnings in the most famous novel/movie of all time. Gone with the Wind is a novel which includes, here's a quote, actually the quote of the warning, you ready? Which includes problematic events, including the romanticization of a shocking era in our history and the horrors of slavery. The novel includes the representation of unacceptable practices, racist and stereotypical depictions and troubling themes, characterization, language, and imagery. This does not, however, constitute an endorsement of the characterization, content, or language used. Is that where we are? Is that where we are, where we are such a snowflake society that novels, so at what point do we have to look at it and go, look, you know what? Read the book at your own peril. Suck it up like so many generations before you have. So we are probably two generations removed of people making this one of the best-selling books of all time into one of the best-selling movies of all time. And now have we devolved to that level? Are we down so far into woke snowflakeness, so far into jackassery? Oh, Boomer, jackassery. We're there. Hit it. Yeah. We are so far into jackassery that they can't even stop themselves from having to put a trigger warning on a, how old is this thing? Almost 90-year-old book. Almost 90-year-old. I mean, it's 87, is that right? Am I doing math right? 87 years old, this book's been around. Top seller, loved by generations, represents things that don't exist anymore. But you have to warn people, be careful. It concludes, what does it say? It says, the romanticization of a shocking era in our history. Shut up, snowflakes. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from the break and we'll wrap up Adventures in Woke World. Top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to switch gears and talk about tone-deaf politics. Jeff Poore calling in. Yeah, we got... Can I even get through all this? I spent so much time lamenting the meat grown in a lab from dead animals that no longer exist. I got to ask Jeff Poore when he calls in if he needs a mammoth meatball. I will. All right. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, running a little section we call Adventures in Woke World. Got to do this once in a while, especially when they stack up as deep as this. Man, Boomer, I didn't realize I had this many stories. I resourced it out this morning early, and I got carried away, I reckon.
Got carried away. Well, so I mean, much wokeness. There's just so much out there. You just had to pull it in.
The buffet was full. I mean, yeah, they kept bringing out fresh stuff. All right, so Adventures in Woke World. I know that most of you are still recovering from the mammoth meatball grown in a lab in order to, you know, help reverse climate change. And by the way, the techs have gone mad again, Boomer. I can't even keep up. All right, so you'll be happy to know, by the way, as we celebrate Adventures in Woke World, that Dylan Mulvaney, the so-called transgender woman who online shared his 365 days of girlhood, that Bud Light, now made a special commemorative can just for him with his image on it. Yeah. So transgender woman Dylan Mulvaney is now the face of Bud Light because these corporations hate you, says Red State writer Bonchi. So Dylan Mulvaney got his own Coors Light, did I say, or Bud Light? Bud Light can. Bud Light. Bud Light. What happened to you, Bud Light? Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they're trying to reach an audience that contains less than 1% of America. But, you know, hey, go for it, man. See how that helps your sales. Yeah, so there's that. Here's a headline. Another one from the Daily Caller had two of my best headlines for the day. Daily Caller had the meatball story. Daily Caller also had this one. You ready? Report, cops raided a farm to seize a 9-year-old's pet goat so a state senator could serve it at a community barbecue. What in God's name? What is happening in California? So California is so concerned right now with the climate and with, you know, restructuring the tax base and with making sure that nobody is able to go outside their doors during pandemic unless you're specially privileged. So anyway, story dated 2 days ago. Cops raided a farm to seize a 9-year-old's pet goat. Okay, I'm going to summarize this for you. Here's the bottom line. What apparently happened was a woman in California, somewhere near Sacramento, she bought her daughter a pet goat. Now, why you buy your daughter a pet goat to raise for a bit and then auction off is a little odd, but apparently what happened was that was the intent. She bought her daughter a pet goat, and then she took it to auction, and they were going to sell said goat, but before the bidding started, she realized how heartbroken her daughter was, and she pulled the goat out of the auction, except that the auction house now believes that said goat could not be pulled out, and said goat needs to be auctioned because there's some version of a contract here. Cool. So no one wants to take into account the little bitty girl whose pet goat is being sold, and it was sold for $902 at the auction to a California state senator named Brian Dahl. And Brian Dahl had every intent of eating that goat. By the way, who barbecues goats? Boomer, have you ever gone to somebody's house on Saturday and watched the game and they're throwing goat on the grill?
Oh, we got some goat over here, guys. We're excited about this goat for this football game.
I ate some goat knuckle when I was in, I don't even know what goat knuckle is. I ate some goat knuckle in Afghanistan, goat knuckle and rice, you know, just like a favorite dish over there, apparently. I had dysentery 5 times. I lost 30 pounds. I can prove it. But anyway, the bottom line is State Senator Brian Dahl, by God, he wanted that goat. He was going to barbecue that sucker. And so then they filed an action with the police. So they filed, they pressed charges. And so then the police went and did a dynamic entry, breaching the doorway of the farm, seized the goat, and took it so that the state senator could eat the little girl's goat. I am not kidding right now. That's the story I have in front of me from Daily Caller. I read this and think, first of all, how's that going to look in your next campaign, State Senator Brian Dahl? This is the man who ate my goat. Does not deserve to be in public office. I'm saying, I'm pretty sure State Senator Brian Dahl needs to find a way to recoup this really, really quickly. All right, one more before we go to a call that may be coming in right now. You got a call? No? All right, it's not going to happen. Federal judges, free beacon. Federal judges say they will not hire clerks from Stanford Law School. This is amazing. So you may remember last couple of weeks, a federal district court judge went and spoke at Stanford Law School, invited to speak to the Young Federalist Society. And when he got there, he was met by activists who came in, shouted him down, screamed all kinds of, they were screaming things like, we hope your daughters get raped. And these are law students, by the way. And then we had a dean of diversity, equity, and inclusion at the university who stood up and in a pretty much a kind, bless your heart kind of way, told him what a bad guy he was for 6 minutes for coming and then allowed him to go ahead and speak because she's not opposed to freedom of speech. Anyway, the bottom line is this. His fellow judges at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, they're not having any of it. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a highbrow place for a Stanford Law School student to get to be allowed to clerk during the early stages of their career, they're not getting any more. No more clerkships from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The judges there are saying, you know what? We don't need your kind of people here. We don't need people who do not understand the rule of law or the value of the Constitution. And so, yeah, it's no coincidence, said one of the judges, that the worst free speech incidents have occurred at the law schools with the least amount of intellectual diversity. There's a piece of diversity for you, intellectual diversity. All right, lastly, I'll say this, as we all try to recover from the meatball story. Kirk Cameron, and I love this, Kirk Cameron, Christian actor and author, Kirk Cameron, has been taking his message of faith and family and patriotism and all that to a variety of libraries around the nation. He's the anti or the antithesis of the drag queen story hour. Kirk Cameron showing up with his book that one of them is called As You Grow, and another one, I've forgotten what it's called. I think it's called Elephants Can't Be Birds or something like that. So he went to Bryant Park in New York Public Library because the library had said they just didn't have room for him. Now, on the one hand, that's because there were so many people that wanted to come. On the other, it's pretty certain that the library was just looking for an opportunity not to host the event for a conservative. Well, Kirk Cameron, he went on to the park. They chose the location and found out that there were going to be a lot of people there, and people were enjoying this. People have been turning out in droves for his events. And I'm going to tell you, this is the way it should. This is, by the way, this is the way it should be. Conservatives, when you see the stuff going on around you right now, we have to become the opposite. We have to also do. We can't just sit back and go, well, that's an awful thing. I don't know why somebody take a stand for that. You take a stand. You see a drag queen story hour, go down there and see if they will allow you to hold your own story hour. Invite every person you know to bring their kids down and read them a book about patriotism or about the founding fathers or about some matter of faith or family. You take action. And I love the fact that Kirk Cameron puts his money where his mouth is. He gets busy, and he's out there touring the nation right now, providing an alternative to drag queen story hour. All right, you guys. Woo! That meatball story. I'm still getting over it. But hey, it is Meatloaf Monday at Pruitt's. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Right back with Jeff Poore.